Jenny and I took the boys to the zoo the other day, Friday, I think. It was a beautiful, beautiful day, if not just a touch warm. And the older two love to do all the rides, the train and all of that business. But Levi, the little tiny guy, he likes to find the birds. And at home, he'll point into the sky and he'll say, "A burr, Dad, burr." And so he was excited to see every single bird in the zoo, and that's what we determined to do. Now, because of the rides, we had traveled clear across the zoo. We were on the far end, and we were looking for the boat ride way out at the end of the zoo. And we found it, and we got into the line, but as we gathered there, there was a group of spring break camp kids with the zoo. They were just all over the place, and we couldn't even figure out where the line started. So we planted ourselves in the middle and just waited there and determined that when the boat came, we would get in line after these kids. They were there before us. So then Jenny looked at her watch and she said, "Hey, it's going to work out just right. We'll get off this boat and then we'll be able to make it to the very front of the zoo to watch the big bird exhibit." She looks at Levi and says, "Levi, you want to go see the big birds?" "Burrs, Mom. Burrs. Of course he did." It was then that two moms and a bunch of kids, walked right up into the front, right to the edge of where maybe the line could have started if there was a line. And they got close, and I thought, I'm sure they're just looking at the water. You know, you got a bunch of kids, you got to find something to do. You can't just sit in line. I'm sure they're just going to look and see what they can see. Well, the boat finally came, and it's like a half-hour round trip, so you got to time this just right. And we gathered our boys, and we got in line right behind all the zoo kids, a bunch of them. And the two mothers, however, didn't move. And I thought, surely they're going to recognize we were here first, and they're going to do the right thing. Well, the line started to move onto the boat, and they still haven't moved. And you've been there. My heart starts to kind of race and think, oh, just do the right thing. Just do the right thing. And then I thought, well, maybe there'll be room. Maybe they'll get on, and maybe there'll be room after they get on the boat, too. And I don't say anything. Well, those mothers push past us. They get in front right after the zoo kids. They waited for the zoo kids, but not for us and not for the grandma and her grandson who are right in front of us. And then the zoo guy who's running the boat says, "All right, you got to stop right there," pointing at me. "Let me count and make sure that we have enough room." He goes, he counts, and he comes and he looks at me, and do you know what he said? "Sorry. There's no more room. There's no more room." Oh, my heart started to burn. I should have said something. It was easier for me just to be quiet, just kind of see how things go. So I bent down to Levi and I said, "Levi, I'm so sorry. We're not going to see the birds." And I looked at Jennifer, my wife, and I said, "Jenny, I'm sorry. I mean, I could have just said something, anything. A simple word could have been enough, maybe, to kind of set things right. Just one word. One word." You guys, that's the gift in today's gospel reading. One simple word. Jesus, as we've heard, was exhausted from his journey. And he and his disciples had ended up at Jacob's well. It's a mile away from another city out there in the wilderness. And it's noontime, heat of the day. The disciples run to town, pick up some supplies, and they leave Jesus there, maybe to relax, catch his breath, who knows. And it's then that a woman shows up at the well. Unusual timing. Unusual. The middle of the day wasn't when you'd go to get water. And she's alone. And he's alone. And worse, she's a Samaritan. He's a Jew. Jewish people, Samaritan people didn't get along. It's just the way things were. Now, it would have been easy for Jesus, worn out as he was, to just be quiet, rest. Don't say a thing. Let her come do her water, go home, do her thing, get rid of the rest of the day. But Jesus speaks. He notices her. He says, "Will you get me some water? One little word." Now she tries to set Jesus straight. This is a fiery gal. Jesus, by speaking to her, crosses a line, maybe two. The first line, he's a Jew, she's a Samaritan, what are you doing talking to me? Two, we're alone here, you're a guy, I'm a gal, in that culture, it's a big deal. It's just not what you did. But Jesus crosses the barrier that would separate them. He speaks. Now he and the woman get to talking about water, and she's focused on getting the chores done for the day, which include fetching water. And Jesus is speaking about something far deeper, far deeper. You see, Jesus knows why she's alone at the well in the heat of the day. He knows her story, even before she begins to tell it. He knows it was custom, usual practice for women to go together to get water and to do so in the morning or in the evening, not in the heat of the day. This woman's story, well, she'd rather endure the blistering desert heat than deal with the icy stares of the other women. Jesus says to the woman, "If you knew the gift of God who's in front of you right now, you'd ask for living water, and it would become a well springing up within you to eternal life." Now, she misses what he's talking about. She misses it. But to get to the heart of the matter, Jesus says, "Hey, bring your husband out here. Bring your husband out here." And that's when Jesus reveals the knowledge of her situation, and not just knowledge, but care. You see, the woman talks about not having a husband. And Jesus says, "Oh, I know. I know. You've had five husbands, haven't you? And the guy that you're with right now, you're not technically married or together, are you?" Right to the heart. He knows. He knows her struggle. You see, this gal's life was a desert wasteland. She'd had six husbands. They'd either died or they divorced her. She had known either great, great tragedy or great rejection. She felt like a failure, and it may be that her isolation is what protects her from any more of that. And the last thing that she wants is to be hanging around people who remind her of just how broken she is. She's alone. She's connected to nothing and just getting by. Just getting by until her days are spent. The beauty then of Jesus' little word is that he notices her. He knows her struggle right when she arrives, her loneliness, her sin. He knows, he speaks. He does not cast her away, and I don't think she's used to that. It's then that this gal's heart begins to fill with what Jesus calls living water. Now, living water is moving water, water connected to a spring, a source. And so being filled with living water is being connected to the source. It's being connected to God above. It's to have God's Spirit dwell deep within you, by whom we call out, Abba, Father, Daddy in heaven. It's to be connected, to be known, to not be thrown aside, whatever your story. This is Jesus' gift to the woman that day at the well. He notices her, he knows her story, and he does not cast her aside. Now, friends, this is also the gift that Jesus extends to you this morning. He knows your story. He knows the deepest, the darkest secrets and struggles, addictions and shames that you carry within you. And he says, if you knew the gift of God, who sits before you even now and asked, he'd give you living water. So quench your thirst, dear friends. We came here empty, those water bottles that you got, empty, empty. We came here empty, perhaps lonely, knowing our struggle, knowing our addiction, afraid, obviously, to let anyone know about that. We don't want to be ashamed. But the Lord knows your struggle. The Lord knows, the Lord cares. And that, my friends, is what took Jesus to the cross. For on the cross, living water and blood poured from his side to connect you to the source of all life, our Father in heaven, and it's a life that will never, ever die. So therefore, be known, be loved, be filled with living water. Amen.